Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/FaZe5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, FaZe380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
I was frightened by the sight of a life of pain. Whether easy days or complicated, it was all the same. It was scary. The main emotion I felt was shame. Tied myself to opinions of others while depression had me change. I remain with so many thoughts of how. Having issues with my identity, I lost it in the crowd, but I changed. It was life that taught me how to be the man you see and hear right now.
Hey, what's up, fam? This is FaZe. First of all, I want to thank the Most High for all he do for us, y'all, knowingly and unknowingly. Second of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, bringing us back to the Most High bosom. Thank you, Yahweh, and thank you, Yahweh Shah, for all you do for us, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to thank my interstate and out-of-state people for listening, y'all. I know you ain't have to do it, but you did it anyway. Shake it down, shake it down, shake it down now, shake it down, shake it down, shake it down. Hey y'all, I gotta shake it down for y'all. I want y'all, if this is for Africa, this is for Africa, the land of ham. This is for y'all. You know, I came across some content, right? With BB, the Zionist, the dude that trying to destroy the Palestine, the wicked one. Now, he already said when Africa already sent them to court that he got something for them. Now he up to his crafty counseling, trying to unite, trying to be with Africa, trying to do these things with Africa, and trying to steal Africa resources. Now I'm telling y'all, Africa, everybody in Africa, if you're messing with those Jewish people, you're gonna die. Because they don't mean you no good. Look what they did to my forefathers. Look what they did to my forefathers. Those Jewish people, what they did to my forefathers. See, these are the conversations that y'all don't know nothing about and they try to hide. These are the conversations that y'all think the non-melanated man and the non-pigmentation woman is pure honesty and holy. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. They came to your land with religion. But war and theft and death was in the back of their mind. Now you hear this dude from Israel, batting you, BB, or whatever he know, whatever his name is. Trying to smooth talk Africa, y'all. See, Africa, we already think y'all on the slow pickle bus now. And I keep telling y'all to get off that slow pickle bus and start being a nation. And stop letting non-pigmentation people deter you to different ways. His eyes is on Congo. But all this stuff that they did to the Palestine, y'all gonna allow these people to even develop in y'all country? Every non-pigmentation man and every non-pigmentation woman should be out of Africa right now. They don't belong there. Because when we come back to our own, when we come back to our land, there's not gonna be room for Caucasian people. Non-pigmentation people. People who lost their land 400 years ago, 500 years ago, we coming to get our land back. It's too many of us over here that's in captivity. And when we get ready to come over there, we coming to get our land back. Israel, all the way down. But I want y'all to check out with this crafty council devil talking about, y'all. And he always talking about the ISH, something pertaining to. ISH, Jewish, ISH means something pertaining to. Who is he pertaining to? The true children of God, the ones that left over here in America and all, and other four corners of the world that the Most High said in the scriptures. But we want to listen to all these smooth talk that the devil talking. And I'm looking at you on this one, Africa. I'm looking at you on this one, Africa. Now, if I hear something crazy about what y'all doing and letting these people do this on y'all, y'all ain't going to want to hear my voice no more, because I'm going to clown all y'all. Like I said, all the leaders in Africa don't need to be leaders because they cowards. They don't know how to lead. They just want to be position of authority, but they can't lead in a righteous and a leaderish way. They compromise. Somebody got them by the ball. They scared, or they trying to get some on some slick stuff. This is what they do, the crafty council in Africa. Now, I'm going to see if y'all leaders are clowns, idiots, or fools.
With our African friends, we think that Israel now is the best partner that the countries of Africa could have, and it's something that is dear to our hearts. The founder of modern Zionism, the national movement of the Jewish people, was Theodor Herzl, and he said, after I liberate the Jewish people, I will go to Africa to help liberate the black people. We have our African brethren, the Ethiopian Jews, who are in our society, and I personally work every few weeks to help integrate more and more.
He is lying, y'all. I've been noticing way before he's saying it, those people that he's saying, they so racist up there, y'all. Don't let them. Then he said, African brother, he ain't stunning you. What he trying to do is put y'all in a slick hat. Putin already told y'all that Jesus is a black man. So if Jesus is the black man, those people are not the true children of God, and they don't supposed to be there. Now they sucking up to Africa, don't want y'all to make no move. Don't make y'all make no threats. Y'all don't want to make y'all. But I'm going to see if y'all clowns or not. Let's analyze.
And incorporate them in our society.
Definitely a lot to unpackage in that video, right? Let's just start with their African brethren, the Ethiopian Jews. A lot of the women were given contraceptive without consent because they did not want to have no little black babies running around their little apartheid state. So he going to liberate the people in Africa. Liberate them from what? From those diamond mines that's drenched in blood that one of the apartheid corporations makes so much profits in? Facts Over Feelings, 1997 marked a pivotal moment when a couple of apartheid state diamond businesses began penetrating the Congolese market. It's not a coinkydink either that this happened at the same time of rapid destabilization in the country. How can some folks that took advantage of destabilization and in some instances brought it on try to be the same entity to quote-unquote liberate some folks? Make it make sense. And then you said, what about Theodore Herzl? Man, he was one of the folks that almost had Uganda looking like the Gaza Strip. Stop playing. Education is elevation.
So these are the crafty counsel that these people doing, fam. And y'all sitting up here believing them ISH they got. And then when you say their name, they gonna try that. They can't stop the Most High. Because the Most High is looking for them. All y'all ISH Jewish people, the Most High is looking for y'all. That's what y'all fail not to realize. And y'all gonna allow these people, that's why I say Africa, if y'all don't get all those non-pigmentation women and non-pigmentation men out of y'all country, out of our country, I got some words for y'all. And it's not gonna be words of gratitude. Because the Bible says the time and the season. Now it's the time to get those non-pigmentation man and non-pigmentation woman out of our land. Even if they was born there, but they're not there. They're not the true children. They went over there and stole that land and then try to say they this people. They're not. That's the continent of Africa. You're not the person, the bloodline, the heritage. Now they trying to steal all these resources and y'all Negro separating the land. Y'all Negro sitting up there fighting amongst each other. Y'all Negro ain't trying to have one army, one Africa. All y'all doing is being stupid, dumb, and ignorant. That's why I say y'all leaders are foolish. Your leaders doesn't have wisdom. Your leaders don't have guts. Your leaders don't have balls. And your leader don't know how to lead. Period. That's what I see. And I'm over here. Nigga scared. I see more strong African women standing up talking crazy than these scared leaders of men. But we're going to see. We're going to see, Africa. You already gave them permission to cut the middle of the, and then call themselves the Middle East. Now, you already know that whole continent is Africa. How in the hell when white people go in there and cut the land, and then they're going to say Middle East? Y'all know better than that. Your ancestors know better than that. But y'all allow these Negroes, no, not Negro, these devils, these non-pigmentation man, non-melanated man, and non-melanated woman, Caucasian man and Caucasian woman, to come over there in Africa, deceive all y'all Negroes, looking all stupid like y'all IQ is a buck two. That's under mental right retardation. If mental retardation is like 20 and y'all under one, you can imagine what your mindset is and why these people playing with y'all like they are. I don't know what's going on with y'all. Y'all too, Africa. Y'all need to grow up and get some balls. And stop fighting amongst each other and get these clowns out of our country, our land. I see. But we already know the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And we continue letting the wicked come out there. When our grass is high, he come out there and mow it. And we got to start all over. Every time we get to a certain level, he come down there and mow it. And that's what the mindset that y'all ain't on. You need to get rid of that president in Kenya and them other ones that got the mindset with them. That's what you need to do. You need to get rid of those people from Kenya, that president from Kenya. He's supposed to been gone. Now, I ain't even in Africa, and I can read that dude like a dictionary. You can look at him and see he's a snake. You can see how his policy's running. So why are y'all still allowing this dude to rule? Why are y'all allowing these other dudes that been ruling all this time, and the Caucasian man got him by the balls, and y'all ain't still sitting up there sucking y'all thumb? I used to have a little empathy for y'all out there in Africa. I used to have a little empathy for y'all. But as I see, as I've been watching Africa, and as I've been seeing what I've been seeing, y'all niggas clowns. Ain't no way. Either ain't no way, or the Most High put a doozy on all of us. Now we got to shake that shit off and go on to what we need to do. That's the only two. Because I already know the Most High put a doozy on our nation. But we got next to rule. When America fall, then the true children of God gonna rise. Us. The black man, the black woman, the Latino man, the Latino woman, the Native Indian man, and the Native Indian woman, the true children of God. And the Most High scattered us on all four corners of the world, earth. We in every nation. So all you other nations out there, we got somebody in your nation that belongs to us. So all the little slick stuff y'all got going on, we got people in our nation that rolling with y'all. The earth is given to the hands of the wicked, and they cover the judges thereof. So we already seen a situation now when Putin told everybody that Jesus Christ was a black man. He showed the pictures and he gave all the artifacts that he had, that Jesus Christ is a black man. That's what Putin did. The book of Job said, the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. They cover the judges thereof. Now, we already know who the judges are. The prophet, Jesus Christ, Moses, all them. What color did they turn them to? We don't want to think like that. We don't want to think how devious and conniving and slick and wicked that the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman is really are. Because when we start talking like that, the level get high, then here they come with the lawnmower with some crafty counseling, and half of y'all clown believe what this crafty counseling say, and then we back to phase one again. Why would we want our great-great-grandchildren to be in the same situation that we're in now? Why? Is you a clown? Or you a super clown? Because your mindset, man. Because of your mindset. They set your mindset in so much of a delusional state, any truth come out, you believe it's a lie. Everything the Caucasian man, the Caucasian woman told you, taught you, pointed out to you, and you handed it out, and you grabbed on it to like it was gold and real talk, But when real gold, not fool's gold, when real gold and real talk come, you don't even know how to handle. It's so much of a power that you think it's a lie. Now I'm watching you, Africa. Don't let me have to clown on y'all. Don't let me have to clown on y'all through the whole world on this podcast, Africa. For one thing, y'all already in hot water with the Most High anyway. Most of y'all. And the Arabs. Because you already know what your forefathers did to my forefather and led us to be right here where we are. What the book of Revelation say? Revelation 13, 9, and 10. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So who are the saints? If you know the scriptures, you know Israel is the saints. So you're going to get mad at me because God said the Caucasian man got to go into captivity. The Caucasian man killed with the sword, that he must be killed with the sword. So how y'all tell me, how do this make sense? If the Caucasian man put us in captivity, how is he not got to be in captivity according to the Bible? If the Caucasian man killed us with the sword, how come he can't be killed with the sword according to the Bible? We don't want to listen to that. Oh, it means something else. Oh, it means something else. It don't mean that. It don't mean that. It means something else. You just throwing it out of context, Ray. You need to start throwing it out of context. All you do is throw it out of context. And then you got the people going in different mindset, confusing the people. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that, FaZe. It doesn't mean it. Okay. We're going to see if the Caucasian man go into captivity. Because he put our forefathers in captivity. We're going to see if the Caucasian woman go into captivity. Because they had our forefathers in captivity. We're going to see if the non-pigmentation man going to get killed by the sword. Because their forefathers killed our forefathers by the sword. We're going to see if the non-pigmentation woman gonna get killed by the sword because they killed our forefathers by the sword. According to the Bible, what the Bible said. We're gonna see if God's a liar or he's telling the truth. We're gonna see if the Bible is a lie or is the Bible telling the truth. That's all. That's all we got to see. But I know he's telling the truth. And this is what the fear they have because they know that they going into hard bondage. They already know that. And then they're going to try to kill themselves. Most High going to bring them back in the spirit. You're going to come back and you ain't going to remember it. And you still going to get your back beat. Because what's good for the gander, good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the gander is good for the goose. But we don't like that word. Can I get my lick back? This is what the non-pigmentation woman and the non-pigmentation man don't know. This is some of their judgment that they're getting. But, hey, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Most High. Cuss the Most High out. Tell the Most High how you feel. Tell the Most High what to do with it. That's all you got to do. Don't tell me. Tell the Most High. He the one put that in the scriptures.
Yo, watch this right here and come back for my commentary.
Pretty much all of us have been taught by white people who've 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 been taught by white people using textbooks written for about white people. You pretty much only ever had white teachers. So if you're white, you were relentlessly reflected at the front of the room, and you could get through graduate school without having a teacher of color. Right? Maybe one, maybe two. And if you're a person of color, rarely, if ever, did you see yourself reflected at the front of the room. So that teaching force, which is upwards of 93% white across the nation, and yet these teachers are now in the position to decide who's smart, who belongs where, who should be punished for what. And we see this empirically in the outcomes of tracking, special ed referrals, punishment, expulsion, the school to prison pipeline.
Like, I don't think y'all truly understand what Robin DiAngelo was saying here and how true it is. For instance, firstly, let's establish that roughly 80% of all teachers in this country are white, and in some districts that can be as many as, honestly, 100%. Concurrently, black educators account for about 6% of all educators. For black men, it's about 1.3%. And in some areas, like Minnesota, where I spoke recently, black men are only 0.5% of all educators. There is overwhelming research and data that proves that black teachers are better for black students, and in fact, white teachers are harmful or bad for our kids. Having a black teacher means our kids will perform better on standardized tests, and black children who have black teachers are more likely to go to college and less likely to drop out. Black teachers are also more likely to recommend black students for gifted programs, and they're less likely to suspend, expel, or refer them for discipline issues. Oh, and this impact isn't just had on black students. Black teachers had a positive impact on every student, all students, regardless of their background. For example, being signed to Black Teacher improved students' reading and math scores and decreased chronic absenteeism by roughly 60%. So does this mean that black folks are just better teachers than white folks? Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, we can all probably say that we've had great teachers of all backgrounds. I know I have. But it's something that black folks as educators mostly do differently that we can all learn from. And that is, black teachers culturally demand better and have higher expectations for their black students. And not just for their black students, but for all students. And as an educator of 12 years, where 10 years I taught in a diverse school, I can tell you that this is true. On the flip side, studies show that white teachers, when given the same student as a black teacher, is less likely to see that child as college material. And why is that? Well, it's based on social conditioning. White teachers work from within a hegemonic Western epistemological framework, which often predisposes them to have lower expectations of black students and a lack of respect for the students' families and primary culture. We're not saying that black teachers can wave a magic wand, but what we're saying is this research suggests that white teachers' failure to address or value black students' primary culture could also be a significant factor in their academic success. So what do we do moving forward? Well, the first step is, of course, we need more black educators. But it's not enough to just say we need more black teachers. Y'all know how I feel. Representation matters is an incomplete sentence. We need to cultivate, mentor, and recruit black folks who we know have a nurturing, caring, and conscious spirit that's in tune with our culture to go into the classroom. Number two, white folks, there's hope for you. You need to truly challenge yourself, question yourself, reflect, and understand that you are included in these studies. No matter how much you've learned or how many of my videos you've watched, and understand that you have to set those high expectations for our kids, and also understand the backgrounds in which they come from. And no, expectations alone won't cure this, But starting with that as an endpoint means that you'll understand the barriers that are in place and work to remove them using your place of privilege and your position to power to make sure that they can be as successful as they are supposed to be. Because let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it real. If you don't have relationships with Black folks outside of what you see in the media, where we are mostly depicted as gang members, gangbangers, gangsters, and thugs, and you're not reading books, and you're not unlearning, and you're not committed to this anti-racist life, then how do you expect to view our kids differently when you go into the class if this is the prototype that you have for Blackness? The third thing, and this is not a full list, but this is what I'm giving you now, read, learn. Understand that you don't know it all. Sign up for that online course that you need to sign up for. Your college did not prepare you for this. Your life did not prepare you for this. So at this point in your life, you're at a preschool level primarily in terms of understanding racial issues and understanding Black culture. So act like that. Act like that because you'll continue to have this hunger and thirst for knowledge. That bachelor's degree, that master's degree, that doctorate you got, that don't mean nothing when you're talking about what we're dealing with. Matter of fact, in the classroom, we have a doctorate in our experience, and you are the child. And lastly, do not expect your Black friends or Black co-workers or Black acquaintances to teach you a thing. This is your responsibility. You must commit to it. You must invest in it. You must bring in experts, myself and other people, do this type of work for a living. What Robin DiAngelo talked about here is a reality, but it doesn't have to be if we are committed to making a change moving forward.
Won't you stand by me? I just need a little more time. I just need a little more time with you. Promise that you'll stand by me. Won't you stand? Won't you stand by me? I just need a little more time. I just need a little more time.
The way that they too wait for the answer. Blacks think that we've been misled by our leadership, for instance. They think that we can consume our way into equality and sees equality as an equality of materials. So if I have the same car as a white person, if I have the same house as a white person, you know, a similar job, then I'm equal. But you cannot consume yourself into equality. You must produce yourself into equality, and you move into equality and beyond by productive thinking. Because as long as you're consuming knowledge or you're consuming materials, the guy who is giving it to you or selling it to you is producing at the same time, which means that you never catch up with him because he's always two or three steps ahead of you. To a good extent, many of our students go into schools, college, as well as secondary levels, consuming. And their minds are not being developed to produce the true means by which they will accomplish equality. Everything else is sham.
Just at a personal note, when I was going to school, okay, at an illustrious college in this area, I found many of the European philosophies, concepts, etc., to be totally irrelevant to my position in the world. But and in my effort to come up with some kind of Afrocentric view, that I was stifled and, you know, received your...
Black history shouldn't be regulated to 28 to 29 days in February, but should be covered and celebrated every day. We've created our second digital PDF Beyond February, a follow-up to our first digital PDF Black History Facts you probably didn't learn in school. Both PDFs are full of Black history facts and stories that aren't usually taught in school. Both digital PDFs can be downloaded and read at your convenience. You don't want to miss out on the chance to uncover the untold Black history facts and stories.
Breaking news! Girl, it's going down in the Middle East right now. And this time, for real, for real, for real. Now, if y'all didn't know, both Yemen and Egypt have the two largest armies in the entire Middle East. Egypt just a little bit larger than Yemen's, right? The Egyptian army is the strongest in the entire Middle East with 4,000 tanks and 2,000 aircrafts, right? So in between the time of yesterday and today, it looks like Egypt said, you know what, bitch, you may have just crossed the right line. You got the right motherfucker on the wrong day, and I'm not ready to play with you. This ain't a game. I don't know why you thought this shit was ever a game. You better have my money, Smokey, when I get there. I need you to know that. Have my money ready. For those of y'all don't know, it's 1.9 million people inside of Rafah right now. Now you do the math. 1.9 million times 10,000. And that's how much money that Israel decided to come in between, because they found out that them folks was raising the money quick overnight.
Reverse racism is white people getting their feelings hurt, because when you're used to being privileged and things become equitable, it feels like you've lost something. White people all up in their feelings because they're no longer privileged. Now they have to share that privilege with everybody else. Reverse racism is white people getting their feelings hurt.
Still are important. Everybody on here, everybody listening to me right now, you serve a purpose. You just don't know what it is. Like, I didn't know what my purpose was, but I guarantee you this. Everything you're going through in life is preparing you for a certain moment that's coming in your life. So if you're still going through something, that's just another tool in your box. You understand what I'm saying? So let me get back into this. I want to say there's 7.4 billion of us on the planet, all right? But I need y'all to understand that tonight, for the 50 Shades of Black, well, I want to talk to the 1.2 billion on the continent of Africa, because that's how many of us is over there. Then we got another 37.7 million that we can verify here in the United States. Then we got another 15 million of us in Brazil. We got 8.5 million of us in Haiti. We got 11 million in Europe. We got 7.3 million down in Papua New Guinea. We got 4 million in Colombia. 3.1 million in Saudi Arabia. 2.7 million in Jamaica. We even got 2 million in Iraq. Now that's a lot of black folks, okay?
All the mess we hear, y'all. All the crafty counsel we hear, y'all. We just hear so much stuff, y'all. So how you feel about it? You know, it was a good about what they saying about the solar eclipse and what's going on and what's going to happen and what they did and what all is. So we're going to see this. We're looking at it, like I tell you, y'all. We're looking at this as a big picture over here. We checking it out. All I'm trying to see if we got next. And I know we got next. I ain't trying to see. I'm trying to watch our I got next fall into place. Right? I don't know what everybody else listening to, but I know what I'm listening to. We got next. And y'all, if we weren't the characters in this worldly story and we were just the audience, we'd be like, damn, they done play, we feel sorry for them. They play these tricks on these people like this all this time. Just like white. And speaking of white, okay, you know, the white terminology didn't start until like the 1800s, something right there, okay? So if white terminology started in 1800, what was they calling them before they was calling them white? Think about it. If white people didn't exist until at least the 1800s, then tell me, before then, what was they called? They was called Edom. Edom mean red. all things will make you think they was born like that. You always be trying to go with that mysterious. You always be trying to go with that mysterious. You, Faye, so I don't know, Faye. Now, you can't tie the clothes. You don't want to upset nobody, Faye. You know, you like to upset people when you be talking strong. Just like we be talking about. You be talking strong. So, when Slick really was down here, Faye, he already said what you said. Well, all right, Faye, you do your thing. It's your show. But you need to stop that with that white stuff. You know, you got Caucasian white people listening to you, and you got some of them your greatest listeners. So, Faye, why are you going to disturb the white listeners just to be saying all this?
Okay, I see what you're saying. But knowledge is key, right? Is knowledge key? So let's analyze.
White people did not exist before 1681. Again, white people did not exist on planet Earth until 1681. Number two, any claim that this group called white people, any claim that that group is rooted in biology or derived from genes or biology or is innate or is from nature is a lie. Third and final point. As a matter of foundational law, actually, let me say it this way. White supremacy has been embedded in the United States of America from its founding as a matter of law. Now, I don't expect you to buy all that, to get all that, to believe all that, at least not now. But my job is to share with you the legal history that proves each of those three claims that I begin with. So let's go. Let's get started. We have to begin this conversation in colonial North America. Specifically in the colonies, the British colonies of Maryland and Virginia. Both were British colonies, and both shared a number of particular characteristics. First, their economies were rooted in tobacco farming. If you know much about tobacco farming, it requires tremendous human labor. Lots and lots of workers. So those who owned large plantations, big landholders, constantly needed laborers to do the work to grow the tobacco. In addition to sharing an economic base, both colonies had an incredible gender imbalance, roughly 10 men for every woman. Now, let's understand a little bit about the folks who constitute the people in these two colonies. Oh, and by the way, let me give you a year. We're in the early 1600s, okay? The early part of the 17th century, colonial North America. England had, for some bizarre reason that today demographers cannot explain, there was a population boom in England in the early 17th century. So there were lots and lots of poor British people who were on the public doles, who couldn't find a way to make a living, who couldn't feed themselves. So the king in England was quite happy to have them sign a contract of indenture to then go work in the British colonies. And that is what happened. Both indentured and enslaved persons, according to historian Edmund Morgan, were sold and traded like cattle. But of course, not all laborers stand equal in terms of their labor agreement or lack thereof. Those who came under a term of indenture worked for a term of years, and presumably this indenture was an agreement that they chose to enter into. The terms of indenture were largely protected by British law, although the terms that took form in colonial North America were quite different than those that existed in England. For example, in England, indentured servants could marry because that was viewed as the way to produce the next group of workers. In this country, indentured servants were prohibited from marrying, and if women were unfortunate enough to get pregnant during their term of indenture, they added usually about 7 to 9 years onto their term of indenture and 1 year to the father. Slavery, of course, was a status that came with life, work for life. There was neither British law nor international law to prohibit or restrict slavery. What we do know is that at this time period in colonial North America, there were free persons of African descent. We know that landholders freed slaves.
And y'all see the hapaka up there? Yeah, yeah! Make you want to scream, man. They get these migrants all the money. Giving billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to this unnecessary war. And still getting Israel billions of dollars, y'all. And this is what they do to y'all. This is what they do to us. This is what they do to us, and y'all good with it.
See, SNAP food stamps benefits are coming to an end. It's thanks to the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023, apparently halting emergency benefits nationwide. NBC 15's Karis Harmon joins us now live in Mobile. Karis, some folks are wondering how they'll even put food on their table.
That's right, Kim. And some shoppers I spoke with today told me they have to break the bank just to get the necessities.
Anyone leaving the grocery store will tell you.
Very high when you can't get a dozen of eggs for less than $5. Very high.
People telling me their grocery bills are far too high.
It's usually around $200 to $300 a week.
I average probably about anywhere from $200 to $275.
Meat and eggs and cheese, all that is high, so about $400 or $500.
People like Christina Peebles are not only getting groceries for themselves, but they also have other mouths to feed.
Everything has went up.
I have a 14-year-old and a husband. You definitely don't get a lot for $200 or $300.
Over 390,000 Alabama households could struggle to get food on the table. Emergency allotment for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP benefits, is coming to an end.
Since March of 2020, we have been issuing emergency allotments, which means that everybody would get their regular allotment during the month. And then at the end of each month, we'd bring them up to the maximum allotment for their household size.
A program that will not continue in March.
Most families will not feel this until the end of the month of March, but we're wanting to go ahead and let individuals know that where they can start saving and being able to prepare for that.
And I have 3 kids now, so food stamp, it helps a lot because I get like a nice amount and then you don't pay any taxes on it.
One woman I spoke with did not want to be on camera. She uses food stamps.
And I'm not coming out of pocket paying $400 to $500 for food. The food stamps helped me.
She will not be affected by the cut to emergency SNAP benefits, but many people could find themselves drowning just for trying to put food on the table.
It's a real big help. So for people that's going to get cut or not even receiving it, I could just only imagine.
Some people saying this could cause problems.
Just because we're not seeing as much COVID cases and things going on with the COVID doesn't mean that people aren't affected by it.
Others say there's an easy solution.
America need to go to work. The Bible say if a man don't work, he don't eat. So they need to go to work.
I don't like the workers, I don't like the managers, I don't like nobody. We can clock out or keep it professional. How you wanna go about it?
People don't know that watermelon rind in water is fertilizer. Orange peels in water are pesticides. Potato peel in water is a nutrient solution. And apple peels in water remove yellow leaves and rotten roots. If you take cherry seeds, put them in an egg filled with soil and water them. Then you'll have free cherries at home. If you take an ice cream cone, fill it with soil, and put a seed inside, it will feed on the cone and grow 3 times as fast. If you cut up some onions, put them in the ground, and water them, you'll get free onions for life. If you take a pomegranate, put the seeds in a plastic bag and crush them, you'll be able to plant them and have endless pomegranates. If you cut up a milk carton, put some cement in it, and plant an egg in it, you'll have a beautiful modern pot for your plants. If you take a sweet potato, stick 3 toothpicks in it, and leave it to soak in water, it will sprout and you can plant it in your garden. If you cut a cucumber, collect its seeds and put them in water, the good seeds will stay at the bottom. If you go to my account, subscribe and click on the organic.
Why can't I afford to fill my gas tank? Why can't I buy groceries anymore? Why can't I pay my rent? Why is it my parents could own a home? Why is it my grandparents could own a home, have five kids, two cars, and the wife stays at home? And I'm married, I have an advanced degree, my wife has an advanced degree, and I can't even afford rent with our combined income. What the hell is going on? They were blue collar union people back in the day. You know, I always go back to The Simpsons. It's the most prescient show of all time. The real mindfuck of The Simpsons is that was a show started, I think it was 1988. Homer Simpson is an uneducated blue collar worker, and he owns a home with four bedrooms, two cars, his wife stays at home, and he can afford three kids. Think about that. That's the real mind of that show. And that was commonplace in 1988. We all just, nobody looked at that like, what the heck is going on? And then you look at today, can you have that kind of lifestyle on a blue collar salary? No, that's inflation. As for the real rate of inflation, they rigged the numbers. They say it's 5%, but let's cut oil out of that. Let's cut meat and poultry out of that. Let's take all the things you actually need in life. My brother lives in Gillette, Wyoming. He does a lot of real estate transactions. We would see trailers and modular homes go for $50,000, $75,000. Those same properties in Gillette are selling for $180,000 5 years later from $50,000. And they tell me the inflation rate's only 5%. It's not a real number. Everybody is seeing it. They're feeling it real time, and wages are not going up. So they feel it. They say, I'm done. I need something else. Where do I go? And that's what creates a revolution. And that revolution is a monetary revolution. And people are going to flee into cryptocurrency, and they're not going to go for half measures. They're not going to go into cryptocurrencies. The only thing that they offer is digital gold, because they can't vote with it, they can't bank with it, they can't have financial services with it. They're going to go for a full stack thing where they actually feel like they have a stay. And that's why I think the third generation is so important. And all cryptocurrencies, whether it be Tezos or Algorand or Cardano that are pursuing that, they're going to fare very well, you know, when that transition occurs.
Yes, shit is hitting the fan, and they can't hide it anymore. We are at war, and nowhere is that more apparent, of course, than the Red Sea between Russia and France. Russia threatening France that if you send troops to Ukraine, as you're planning to do, this will bring death and destruction to France. Their words, not mine. So this week, Russia sent a number of massive warships into the Red Sea for the first time. This was in direct response to France. If you want to watch, by the way, how a desperate, failing country drags the rest of us into World War III, look no further than France. President Macron, over the past few weeks, has grown desperate to save France, threatening Russia. Why is he doing this? What's going on here? Well, let's look at Africa and a story that no one is covering. France once owned Africa for generations. France controlled and exploited the vast natural resources of African countries. France is only able to exist as a modern superpower if they're able to plunder uranium, lithium, gold, silver, tin, and all sorts of precious minerals from Africa. If they can't plunder it, then they are finished. More than any other country in the world, France depends on uranium to power their nuclear power plants. Almost 70% of their power comes from nuclear. And all of their uranium is plundered from Niger in Africa. A few years ago, the cracks started to emerge. Coups across former French colonies broke out, most recently Niger, Congo, and more, saying we're done with France and the puppet governments that you've installed in our countries that rape our country and send cheap minerals to France. Get out of our countries. Let us keep our own minerals.
What people want is to gain back their wealth, their uranium, their gold, their iron, their phosphate, their oil, their gas. And this scares the West.
You see, all of these resources sit in a very important zone here in Africa, the Sahel region.
Between the vast Sahara Desert and the dense foliage of the African rainforest is a band of semi-arid grassland. Known as the Sahel, the landscape is one of Africa's most productive crop regions.
Last year, these countries said, we need military help in order to stop the French from plundering our uranium. They hired the Russian mercenary group known as the Wagner Group, formerly under the leadership of General Prigozhin. Prigozhin, of course, is now dead. Now, Putin has rolled these Wagner forces into the Russian regular army. They are now Russian forces, and thousands of them are in Africa, in direct opposition to the thousands of French forces that are in the Sahel. France says, we're not here to plunder resources, we're here simply to stop terrorists. Stop terrorists, sure. Niger says, no, you're not. You're here to plunder our resources and install a puppet government. And the people you call terrorists are the ones opposing your illegal occupation of our country. 6 coups in 3 years. Sudan, Chad, Burkina Faso, Guinea, Niger, all to throw off the shackles of French neocolonialism. This region is on fire right now, and France has everything to lose. That's why they are so desperate. That's why Macron is threatening Russia so vehemently right now over the past few weeks, threatening to put French forces in Ukraine. If he does this, Putin has vowed death and destruction to France. France is getting so desperate to survive, they're dragging all of us into a world war. By the way, do you think that this is just going to end with a Baltimore Bridge cyber attack? No, it's not. This is a shot across the bow to the United States. You just helped launch a terrorist attack in Moscow. This is going to descend into chaos if we don't stop it.
If you're gonna do something, do it now.
What do you keep sitting up here talking about you gonna fucking protect Scooby? What the fuck you gonna do with that pipe? Because if you hit my motherfucking dog with anything, you and Scooby is going out there where you supposed to be. And that's on Kunta Kinte and Chicken George. Put your dog down. Put your dog down. Let me show you what I'm going to do. Put your dog down.
No, you ain't going to fuck with me, lady.
Put your dog down. Tie your dog up and let's get to it.
You better fucking leave me alone.
No. Put, you say, do what I'm going to do. Put the dog. No, put your dog up. Put your dog.
You're damn bad, Daddy. You're going to do it with my dog in my hand.
Man, I'm telling you.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you better get the fuck on. You better get the fuck on. You talking, you can hit me act like I'm not a woman. Did you swing that motherfucking pipe at me? I promise you I'ma lock up thunder and handcuff lightning. You the one running? The fuck you running for?
No,
I'm telling you. Leave my motherfucking dog alone. You said out your mouth. I heard it. You say you hit my dog the day before with that fucking...
I was thinking about it earlier. I was upset. I did not hit your dog. I did not lay a hand on your dog. I did not touch your dog.
So why did you say you hit my dog with that fucking stick?
Because I was upset.
Okay. I'm telling you now, leave my fucking dog alone. Leave my dog the fuck alone. Shit, because I'm going to go back to my motherfucking ancestors. And I'm going to call them all out one at a goddamn time. I don't bother none of y'all over here. I don't know what it is about me being here. You the second one to fuck with me about my dog.
No, well, I didn't want to hurt your dog. That's why I come to you about it. I couldn't call the law because that dog was riding on the out in the alley trying to...
You didn't come to me when I was outside yesterday. You said, listen, please don't call Kunta Kinte and Chicken George out. I'm telling you. Because next time, see, you couldn't run from me. Had I wanted to catch you, I could. Okay? I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. And don't you ever be acting like you pulling no motherfucking pipe on me. Never. Ever, goddamn it. My people done been through enough shit. Honey, they can tie my hands, shackle my feet, and I will motherfucking do the headbutt out here.
And I'll be right back.
My name is Rich Siegel. I'm a 25-year homeowner here in Teaneck. I'm Jewish. The reason that I'm telling you that I'm Jewish is because I have a concern about something that's going on in the Jewish community. On March 10th, there is scheduled to be an Israeli real estate sales event at the Keter Barah Synagogue. That event violates both domestic law and international law. Violates domestic law because we had a Civil Rights Act in 1965 and a Fair Housing Act in 1968. We don't allow real estate events to be for whites only, or Jews only, or anybody only. Now, as Jews, we don't get to fly under the radar and break the law and hide it in a synagogue. It violates international law because West Bank settlement homes are going to be available for sale at this real estate event. On the website, it lists 3 different West Bank settlements. Those settlements are in and of themselves illegal by international law. If we allow this sale to go through, we are enabling a local synagogue to violate both domestic anti-discrimination laws and international law. Now, there's other reasons we shouldn't allow it, okay? There's a genocide going on right now. I don't care who that offends. More than 35,000 people have been killed. More than 13,000 children have been killed. People in this community are in deep mourning. People in this community are angry. I'm angry. What this real estate event is going to do is it's going to fan the flames. If it goes forward, there will be a demonstration. I know there's going to be a demonstration because I'm going to organize it. It will be very well attended. What I'm saying needs to be done is, I don't know how much power this mayor and this council have to actually shut down the event, but I know you have the power to recommend that it be shut down. And I'm asking you to please do it. We don't need to have more divisiveness in this community, okay? We don't need to have Jewish privilege rule the day by saying we're entitled to break the law and have this real estate event and not care about how so many people in this community feel about it. Thank you for letting me speak.
So I went to the Google to see if this is true. If they have these real estate events in synagogues, and apparently they do. So this company's agents and representatives travel abroad about regularly throughout the year to Jewish communities in the United States, London, and Australia. That doesn't surprise me at all. To meet with clients and give seminars about the Jerusalem real estate market and the process of buying property in the land that was created in 1948 at the expense of the people that already live there. And then it led me to this real estate for you, where you can buy a luxury house in Netanyahu's stolen land. This is wild. It's the same fucking playbook that they have been using for 400 or 500 years. The same shit. Go claim some land that doesn't belong to you. Annihilate the people that live there, and then sell the land to a bunch of stupid Americans, stupid Canadians, and stupid Australians, and stupid, what's the other one? England. Can't forget about England. So that they can go over there and illegally occupy the land. It is the same fucking playbook. And they don't give a shit if it's in our faces. What you would have done if you were alive when they were doing that bullshit to the native and indigenous people of America? What would you have done if you were alive when they were kidnapping, enslaving Africans? What would you have done during the 40s, during the war? You're fucking doing it now. I'll tell you that. We always wonder how these things could have happened. Where were the good people? Sitting on their asses, not doing a goddamn thing. If you felt like I was talking about you, guess what? I was. The 12 tribes rise to my door.